We are joined by Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. He's extraordinary in everything, but he's our lawyer, our barrister, our attorney extraordinaire, and he told me a story or something that's about to happen on May 15th with the fishing opener, the governor's fishing opener. And, you know, this is one time when I'm saying, leave the guy alone. But you're telling me there's some big plans to disrupt his fishing opener.
You know, there's been some talk because he's going to do his fishing opener on a lake in Ottertail County. I don't think the lake has been announced yet. But I saw some chatter online last week. A lot of folks that have been on the front lines battling his COVID restrictions, his lockdowns, defending business owners who were, you know, who opened up in violation of his rules and had to deal with the attorney general and you know, cease and desist orders and everything else. I've heard some chatter that they are planning a warm welcome for the governor to Rocks and Cows Country. You know, Rocks and Cows kind of, if you remember the famous statement he made about how the, you know, it's all rocks and cows out there, right?
Yes.
So there is no love lost between the governor and rural Minnesota.
So,
and so that, you know, he likes to encourage peaceful protests to protest injustice.
He's going to
get a taste of his own medicine in Ottertail County.
So
on May 15th,
people are purposely going to go out on the lake to like go flying by to have wake at his boat. And
I've heard a few different things mentioned. People are renting cabins up there. I've heard that a plane has been rented that's going to fly some sort of banner over the lake. I've heard some talk about how they were going to, you know, could stir up a wake, maybe a boat parade that would stir up a wake. I think, you know what, and more power to him. You know, he's been in this isolated bubble in the metro for the last year, patting himself on the back for doing all the right things. Well, now he gets to go out into and see how the other half lives and see how much they like him out there.
All right, I rescind my earlier comment. Have at it. Just don't do anything that's illegal.
Exactly.
Are the rules different on the lake when it comes to, like, unrest? By that, I mean, no, not ramming his boat, but I mean, aren't there some rules about if a boat is fishing, you shouldn't go so close to create wake? I don't remember from my boating days.
I have no idea. The curious thing will be is will the governor's security staff beef up security up there now that they know that this may happen, or will they shut the public access down or something?
Well,
to prevent others from getting on the lake.
Could you imagine how that would piss people off if he shut down access just so he could be on the lake?
And I hope he doesn't plan to eat at a bar or restaurant out there that he shut down. So he may have to be getting some gas station sushi.
Well, that certainly would be good for him. Well, I guess in a few weeks we'll find out exactly what kind of reception our governor will receive from people up in Ottertail County. And they have not identified the lake yet, right? Or have they?
They have not.
Well, how many lakes are in Ottertail? I mean, it may be tough to find out. Well, though, they'll announce which lake it is. They always do, right?
Yeah. Yep.
See, I always, when we boated, or were boating, I always was respectful of someone fishing. I stayed away from them, made sure I didn't go anywhere near them to disrupt them that much, because it would bother me. So, but anyway,
that's generally the etiquette. I think that there's an exception for this one.
All right. Now, you also you were telling me before we started, chatting here that you, and it's not, it's actually you're onto something here. A Mount Rushmore of rookies, because there is a rookie from each of our major teams who's been having. I mean, they're having a heck of a year. Kaprizov is at the top of the list, right? For the Wild. And then
Kirill is going to be the top. Of course, if you're looking at kind of this last stretch and exclude what the Vikings just drafted, you got to put Justin Jefferson up there, you know, for the year he had last year.
So I'd probably put him
right now neck and neck with Kirill. And then you've got, I would probably say Anthony Edwards with the Wolves has been playing really hot all year and is really coming on now. But as of this weekend, the Twins have entered the fray with Alex Kirilloff. You know, had a heck of a series against Kansas City, four home runs.
Well, but he—I mean—he needs to do it over a longer duration. But
absolutely, and I'm cautiously optimistic that he will. I'm not just saying that because someone that's sitting around with a mitt full of his rookie baseball cards either. But he's been highly touted. You know, a lot of us have been really excited to see him come up and start playing with them. And I mean, he's even in the first in the Cleveland series, he was hitting the ball hard. He just hit it to where the defense was. You know, he had a couple of screamers came off the bat like 106 miles an hour.
Yeah,
but they caught him. And so this series, he figured out how to get them to where the defense wasn't, and had home run. He had a tape measure home run yesterday.
So you're telling me. You're telling me you saw how much LeBron's rookie card brought, so you're saving all those rookie cards.
You know what? I have a whole mitt, Bob, of Chuck Knoblauch, Scott Erickson, Lenny Webster, and Willie Banks rookies. I need to even up my average.
All right, I get it. That's funny. All right, now tell me. I want to hear what you think of the Vikings draft.
At first, I was a little disappointed. I wasn't sure what they were doing the first night with when they had the chance to get either Mac Jones or who was the other offensive lineman that they were talking about getting.
Well, there was another Southern one there. The Jets moved up to take the Southern Cal guard.
Yes. So I was a little questioning why they were messing around trading down when they had two very good possibilities there. Because, you know, because Cousins is only, another 1 or 2 years away from his contract being up again. And they got to start thinking about the future at the quarterback position. So I was a little bit surprised. But then everything I've heard about Christian Darrisaw has been extremely positive. Some people said he was probably, of all the linemen, he was the one. I guess he's had some injury issues, but overall on pure talent, he was tops at a lot of people's boards. And I guess, as I understand it, I heard an interview with Zimmer the night of the draft, and he kind of confirmed that was the guy they had targeted.
You know, they always say that, though, Jeff. See,
I know.
I must have been reading something different, because the reports that I saw, he can be lazy. You know, where he doesn't, he basically doesn't, you know, the one position you could never take a playoff is left tackle, or anywhere along the line, but left tackle, particularly on a pass play. So I'm not overwhelmed by this pick as many people are. And the Kellen Mond pick, I don't know that much about him. I know that people are now effusive about him in their praise.
Of course, because in Minnesota, the most popular player on the team is the backup quarterback.
Well, but also I think they address positions that people were desperate for to have them address. And as I mentioned, I think that's part of it, that people are – or it's more hope that it's going to work than the fact that it truly will work. If Darrisaw was so good, he would not – you don't slip – to the 23rd pick, unless you're Randy Moss and there are issues about you. He slipped to the 23rd pick because I believe teams were scared off by the fact that he doesn't give 100% on every player. That's the rap on him. So that would scare me off for a left tackle.
I was also a little surprised that when they amassed all these third and fourth round picks, that they didn't trade back into the second round. But I read some quote from Spielman saying that he thought that the meat of this draft, the strongest, was there was a lot of players to be had in the third and fourth.
Well, yes, of course he's going to say that, because he's justifying why he has all the picks. I'm not sold on this. And automatically, he drafts a guard in the third round. Is it Wyatt Jones or whatever the heck the kid's name is? Well, he's going to be the starting left guard. No, you don't know that. You know, people are just dealing with hope more than they are with reality. And maybe it'll work out where they're all three of them turn out to be all pros or really good starters. But I've seen too many drafts, including a lot of Rick Spielman drafts, where they don't work out. Matt Khalil is a shining example. He had 1 year.
Well, and also look at the other news of the weekend for the Vikings with Mike Hughes. They aren't going to pick up his fifth-year option. Here's the 2018 number one pick. And they're not taking his fifth-year option because he's had all the injury issues. I mean, you just can't guarantee. That's the hardest wild card in football, is a guy going to stay healthy? Well, all the talent in the world, but if he doesn't stay healthy, not worth much.
No, and I don't think that the Niners would have been so desperate to get a quarterback if Garoppolo could stay healthy. Because I think when he's healthy, he's right. not shabby. He did help them get to a Super Bowl. You know, and that their defense was pretty good too, but he did make a difference there. All right. Jeff, as always, greatly appreciated. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.